Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Greetings, campers, self-isolationists, self-quarantiners. Great to have you along, getting underway with the 5 o'clock follies, and as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here's how you join me and be a part of the conversation this afternoon. Grab the phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063, Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. Special guest joining us this afternoon, somebody who has a great deal more expertise in dealing in things like COVID-19, certainly than I do. That is Dr. Katie Tolento. She's a former White House advisor and an epidemiologist as well. Welcome to the show, Dr. Tolento. How are you?
Hi, thank you so much. It's wonderful to be with you.
What are your circumstances right now, Dr. Tolento? Are you also working from home?
I am in my undisclosed bunker outside of the D.C. area, and I'm hunkered down with my teenagers are told to keep the TV down because mommy's on the radio.
Holy cow. So you are locked in your quarantine facility with teenagers, a fate worse than death itself.
Exactly.
Doctor, I'm curious about something that I've watched transpire over the hours, days, and weeks that we've been dealing with COVID-19. And I'm curious why we have seen such a wide variance in the messaging. I mean, Dr. Fauci at first warned of significant numbers of infections and fatalities, and I'm assuming that was based on the Imperial UK model. And then that was backed off over the weekend, and now again yesterday, a repetition of the warning, again, of high numbers. Is it the modeling that's responsible for this?
I think so. I think there are a lot of competing models out there. It was the Imperial College model that really stressed everyone out around the world a few
right.
weeks ago. But even then, I think what caused people to back off that model was that the lead modeler for that team actually testified before the British Parliament walking back their doomsday scenarios,
mm-hmm.
Something like 500,000 deaths projected for the UK to 20,000 deaths projected for the UK, which of course is still a horrific tragedy, but it's a difficult scale. It's a different scale. So that made folks here, I think, go back and take a look and start building their own models. One of the differences that we're seeing in the models that the White House is working on, and they should be announcing any minute now, which is similar to a University of Washington State modeling team's model. One of those differences is that they're using actual death numbers as the foundation of the model for the projection. Death numbers are more accurate than case numbers, and the Imperial College model used case numbers. We don't know the true case numbers because
right.
we don't know how many asymptomatic people are out there. So that's why I think their model was a little more unstable and less reliable. But when the White House guys are doing their own models, they're coming out similar with similar numbers to the University of Washington models, which are still pretty bad, by the way.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons why there was a pivot back over the weekend, as you pointed out, to scarier numbers and a real doubling down on the orders and the quarantines.
Yeah, and this computer modeling is something that I have some familiarity with because in another existence, I am now a recovering TV meteorologist. So we dealt with computer modeling all the time, and you would see a European model and a U.S. model, and quite often they would have very divergent paths for various weather systems and would be in disagreement more than they would be in agreement.
Right. It's all about the assumptions, right? If your assumptions are wrong and you have garbage assumptions going in, you get garbage data coming out. So it's really important that we use assumptions based on real data and not projected data. And that's the difference between the Imperial College model and the ones that we'll be seeing today from the White House.
We're talking with Dr. Katie Tolento. She's a former White House advisor and an epidemiologist herself. Doctor, numerous states now have put stringent restrictions on gatherings, group size, travel, non-essential work, and the like. We saw none of this with H1N1. Is it because it is suspected that COVID-19 is that much more infectious?
So with influenza, we have so many countermeasures. Like, for instance, we have a vaccine. We have tests. Rapid tests, point-of-care tests. We have treatments and antivirals. So we have a population that's partially immune every year. When you're talking about an influenza virus, our bodies have seen an influenza virus before. It may not be the same influenza virus, but we have some immune response already. And that's why this is just so different. It requires, you know, you have a completely, as we call, virgin population, pardon the expression. And and so it's just very, it's scarier, honestly. And we don't want to be gambling with people's lives.
Yeah. That if you're going to make a mistake, certainly you want to make it on the side of caution. I get that. And looking at some of these numbers, doctor, the death rate from seasonal flu, I believe historically is something like 0.1%, but the current U.S. fatality rate for this one is 1.94%, which is a pretty dramatic difference. So now, as we go forward, is it possible to gaze into the crystal ball and see if this number is expected to go up or level off or even drop off?
So I think it will almost certainly go down. And the reason has to do with that denominator that we still don't know. Mm-hmm. We don't know the true number of cases out there.
Right.
And because of that, because who knows, maybe half of us have already been exposed and are asymptomatic, right? That would mean there's a case fatality rate that's much lower than we thought. We just don't know yet. We need a serology test that is an antibody test that's rapidly administered so that we can get these population estimates. Debbie Birx from the White House Corona Task Force has been promising that the rapid antibody tests are on their way. But to me, that's the largest outstanding scientific question that will unblock a lot of the mysteries here. We don't have any, so the case fatality rate that we know about is basically garbage. We have no idea what it really is because we don't have a real denominator. All that case fatality rate tells you now is how many people die compared to how many people were symptomatic, were able to get tested, and had access to tests.
Right. So essentially, we're still kind of just tossing darts here in terms of having a baseline to be able to base accurate information on. Is that correct?
Exactly. And that's why the models that are based on case prevalence are so unstable. If you base a model off death rates, which is what the White House is going to be doing, I believe, and what the University of Washington team did, death rates, you know, we actually think that we're catching most of the deaths. We actually think we know that number and that number is real, or at least it's closer to real than our case count. So when you start dealing with death data and you build your model around that, it's much more accurate.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense, because in looking at the numbers from Johns Hopkins and some of the other sources, United States with 184,487 confirmed cases. But there are still the unknown unknowns of people that haven't been tested that should be included in this base number, correct?
Exactly. You don't even qualify to get a test if you don't have symptoms. So right. We're missing everybody out there who is asymptomatic. And that's just, it's a complete garbage number. And I think as the case counts go up and they get very scary and very high very quickly, I would just urge people, don't look at the case counts, look at the death counts. As horrible as those are, because they are horrible, but at least they're real.
If you had to draw a comparison, Dr. Tolento, to previous things, because this is such a sea change for such uncharted territory. The American people have never, in peacetime, certainly experienced this kind of lockdown that we've seen. Is there a previous epidemic that you would compare this to, or is there anything that is a legitimate comparative basis to go from?
Well, we certainly have in the past century had very serious and aggressive disease control efforts around mm-hmm. smallpox and polio.
True.
And polio, I mean, used to be a source of great terror. If you ask your parents or your grandparents, you know, kids would get polio in swimming pools, and
yes.
it affected children and paralyzed them. And it was just very frightening for the public. But the difference with those diseases is that we had a vaccine. And because we had a vaccine, we literally eliminated smallpox from the face of the earth, although it does still live in biosafety labs in the U.S. and probably in the former Soviet Union. But polio is the next in line for eradication. It's still holding on in a few war zones where we can't get vaccines to people.
Right.
But these diseases have been really controlled because we had a vaccine. I think the closest to this situation was the Spanish flu in 1918, mm-hmm. where there's really interesting story that your listeners can access at the National Geographic website that has done an analysis of their graphs for all the American cities and their epidemic curves and how those curves relate to when quarantine lockdowns happened in those cities. You
right.
can see dozens of cities and how they reacted and were their curves flatter based on when that lockdown happened. And it's amazing to see this 100-year-old data showing us what we still haven't quite believed in just yet. And 100 years later, we're still using these same tools. It seems very rudimentary, but this is our only hope until we get countermeasures.
Yeah, and it was a very different world back then. Obviously, now we have the travel aspects of all this. But it's
right.
interesting, in looking at the time frame involved here, Doctor, Spanish flu, if my time frame is correct, ran from March of 1918 until the summer of 1919. That's a pretty extensive time frame for this bug to be around.
Yes, I think the difference that we'll see this time is that we are in warp speed on the countermeasures, on the treatment protocols, the testing protocols, and the vaccine clinical trials. I think we will have technologies that will help us in the next cycle, the next season, which could be in 6 months or so, maybe mm-hmm. maybe as short as 4 months.
Right.
So I think we'll have more tools at our disposal. We just have to slow things down now so that we can buy ourselves that time.
Yeah, be nice if we can find ourselves the next Dr. Jonas Salk, right?
right. Although, honestly, Dr. Debbie Birx is probably the most competent disease controller on planet Earth.
Wow.
She has done a miracle of a job with the Global AIDS Program, stopping HIV/AIDS in its track in African countries and using data at the micro level, down to the clinic, down to the GPS coordinate to chase every case. So there's no one better on the earth than her. It's really reassuring that she's there.
Yeah, and it's good to know that she is at the right hand of President Trump. What do you anticipate hearing this afternoon from the White House, Dr. Tolento?
So I'm really eager to hear what their models are. They're going to be coming out with their data And I think the reason that they're going to be really transparent about the data that they're looking at is because they're going to be coming out with more stringent national recommendations. So far, we've had the slow the spread recommendations, which right. have to do with groups over 10 people. Mm-hmm. But they haven't really been, they've kind of left everything up to the governors, which is appropriate. That's our federal system. They don't have, sure. the federal government shouldn't be out there most of the time with law enforcement. That's up to the governors. But I do think that they're going to say, hey, there's no state that shouldn't be doing these guidelines. I think earlier they said, listen, if you're really having a problem, maybe you should have a stricter order. But I think they're probably going to come out today and say, no, everyone should have these orders.
Gotcha. Dr. Katie Tolento, former White House advisor and an epidemiologist herself. Fascinating information, Dr. Tolento, especially delivered in a house full of teenagers.
Yes, thank you.
Great to have you here. Be safe. Thanks for your time, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
My pleasure. Great to have you here. 5:21 now here on the Bobby Mac Show. We'll take a quick break here and then be right back with more as we cruise on here on Tuesday.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. 5:26 here on the Bobby Mac Show on Tuesday. My thanks to Dr. Katie Tolento, epidemiologist by trade and a former White House advisor on these kinds of pandemics, for her time today. Great information that she shared, and we will remain in touch with Dr. Tolento so that as we proceed forward and we see how this thing develops, we can get an insider's look at what the physicians who are boots on the ground in this situation are dealing with and where they expect things to go. In on the, I'm sorry, what'd you say, Angela? Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah, Angela just informing me that she's going to pull out the information of the interview with Dr. Tolento, and that will be in my podcast as a separate item. So you'll, when you go to the podcast at 1063WORD.com and you go to audio And then you go to the podcast for my show, you'll see hour 1, 2, 3, and 4. But the interview with Dr. Tolento will be out separately, so you'll be able to more easily access it without having to go into the individual hour. In on the text line, when someone recovers from COVID-19, how long are they still contagious? I think the answer to that question is still up in the air. We're seeing recommendations of 14 days, and then in some instances, 14 days plus another 3, just to be on the safe side. And you can understand why, since we have seen instances of people who have had the Wuhan flu, recovered from it, and then been reinfected, which is the last thing that you want. Bobby, what a fascinating, intelligent woman. Thank you, Bobby, for having her on. Thank her for joining you. Great informative show as usual. Stay safe. From Dee in Greenville. Thank you, Dee. Appreciate that. Great segment, Bobby Mack. She talks truth you can believe. And as Moneypenny mentioned at the conclusion of the interview to me, she doesn't talk in doctor speak. She actually speaks in language that you and I can readily understand. Bobby, this lady makes more sense than anyone I've heard speak about this issue. Please have her on more. In fact, I have just, during the break, shot off an email that I would like to have her, depending on her availability, of course, on a regular basis to keep us informed going forward. As an AI practitioner, I'm familiar and have examined the models, and they are using averages only, with math on these averages being questionable, because the underlying assumption appears to be normal distributions and not the more likely poison distributions. Plus, they aren't using Bayes' theorem at all. As the doctor said, it is not just garbage in, garbage out. It is garbage all. A risk engineer is what is needed here. Thank you. Appreciate that. 529 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Little Annie is ready to go in the news center as always. I am right back on the other side. Still to come, today's quarantunes. We actually have a couple of them. We'll have one in this hour. We'll have a new one in this hour. And then we'll go back into the groove yard for one of our earlier quarantunes. All that and more is still ahead here on the Bobby Mack Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. Great to have you along. 5:37 here on this Tuesday afternoon, kind of a cloudy and gray Tuesday. So let's bring you up to speed on what happened. Annie, of course, just mentioned everything that is contained in the governor's latest executive order. By the way, this EO from the governor goes into effect at noon tomorrow. You thought the stampede for toilet paper was unfathomable, something unseen by human eyes to this point. Wait until the beauty salons open tomorrow morning at whatever time they open. And who knows, some of these places may open at 6 a.m. now, since there is a noon closure on them. And it's going to be, I don't have to be Nostradamus to figure out that the stampede to the beauty salons tomorrow is going to be truly incredible. In fact, Moneypenny, do you happen to have 50 Shades of Grey handy there? Let's see if we can preview a little bit of what this may be like tomorrow. The Bobby Mack semi-professional players with 50 Shades of Grey.
Coming soon from COVID-19 Fallout Pictures, 50 Shades of Grey. No, it's not a movie based on an erotic romance novel. This is a documentary about women's hair colors during the COVID-19 quarantine. No hair styling means no hair coloring. And no hair coloring means gray roots. Gray roots.
I'm calling mine Locks of Life.
It's the hot new hair trend over the next month or so while the quarantine continues all over the world. 50 Shades of Grey. These hair colors are to die for.
They are natural strands of wisdom.
Now playing on Skunk Hair TV.
Oh, boy. Here we go. 5:39 here on the Bobby Mack Show. In on the text line this afternoon, 71307. Bobby, regarding the less than stellar White House press corps, a D.C. lawyer. I'm sorry. I've just been updated here. Let me interrupt myself. I am told now that the governor's executive order does not go into effect at noon tomorrow. It goes into effect at 5 p.m. tomorrow. So at least that should slow down the stampede somewhat to the barbershops, beauty salons, dare I say, massage parlors all over the Palmetto State. 5 o'clock tomorrow. Sorry for misinforming you initially. But then again, that is the governor's fault as well, because if he had said at the beginning of his statement, as of 5 o'clock tomorrow, but he didn't do that. He just said as of tomorrow afternoon. In on the text line, regarding the less than stellar White House press corps, a D.C. lawyer told me they are all trying to slay the giant to win points with their peers, well, and with their bosses as well. Still, with his Twitter clip with the medical ship Comfort, Trump made Mad Cow look pathetic. Bobby, this was, for me only. Gotcha. Billy, here's another email from my pal Joe Biden. Hey, Billy, typing from my secret bunker. No lie, man. This social distance stuff is for the birds, man. How's a guy like me supposed to squeeze shoulders and sniff hair from 6 feet away? I blame President Bush. He's bringing attention to this mad cow disease so no one will pay attention to the Iran-Contra scandal from Quebec. Gotta go, man. Jill's telling me to get off this typewriter thing. She's a doctor. No kidding. Signed, Senator Joe Biden. Thank you, Joe. Oh, it's... I don't know who's sending that, but they are entertaining. 5:41. Let's go back to the phones. David joins us here on the program this afternoon. Hi, David, and welcome to the Bobby Mack Show.
Hey, Bob. I just wanted to share a text with you I just got from a medical doctor friend of mine who's got 3 clinics in a large metro area in the southeast.
Okay.
And since I haven't got his okay, I just wanted to read this to you. Verbatim what he sent me. He put questions and matters to consider as you think through this corona scenario. Viral illnesses are very common, a usual part of life. Viral outbreaks and epidemics are often a regularly occurring phenomenon. The coronavirus is not significantly different than the flu. So now, what is behind the world's and the U.S. government's and the news media's response? Why now? Is the real concern lowering the death rate or saving lives? Remember the millions of babies that will be killed in abortion? Where is this heading? How might society be conditioned for future issues and government directives? Notice there's almost no national discussion from government or medical authorities, quote unquote, on the necessity of having a strong immune system and how that is developed using the basic in caps nutrients, vitamin A, C, D, and zinc. Notice the national discussion and somewhat prominence on developing a vaccine as possibly, again, in caps, the important thing in the future. Will this be used to condition and mandate the use of vaccinations? If there's an increased national vaccine mandate, will the vaccine manufacturers be allowed no liability as they currently have with vaccinations? Will the quote-unquote normal rules of science and safety trials be suspended due to the urgency and the mandate? What about the potentially devastating effect on the economy and the financial position of individuals and businesses? What about the effects on people and families and businesses going into debt, being forced into bankruptcy, losing their savings? Will all of this help to cause U.S. citizens to look more and more to government to solve the challenges of life, to increasingly look to and depend on big government? Will this scenario be used to condition a new normal, a new expected good citizen, a new moral standard? What are the moral and spiritual principles underlying or connected to all of this? For the Christian, and even the world, if they would listen, how does God in his word direct us to think and live in this scenario and in all of life? God's word is a gift and blessing to his people, even to the world. Is it our guide? Is it a lamp to our feet and a light to our path? How is our Redeemer King represented by us? I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good. And it raises a lot of questions that I think a lot of people have. And I guess one thing going forward is we will say if we reach a point, because the president is doing his task force briefing this afternoon, and one of the things that he mentioned initially is the weight of all the traffic that's on the internet and the fear that it could end up eventually crashing it. If down the road everyone ends up having a social credit score as they do in communist China, I think that will be an indicator of where we're headed with this stuff. But it is certainly uncharted territory. Thank you for the call, and thank you for sharing that email from that physician. 5:45 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Take a quick break here. When we come right back on the other side, we go back to the phones, see if I can catch up with more of the text messages and today's original Quarantune is on the way. Fans of Green Day may be upset when they hear what we've done to one of their tunes. Be right back.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball.
Oh,
host a local event, and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back. 5:51 now, 9 before 6 here on the Bobby Mac Show. The big story of the day, Governor McMaster with a new executive order this afternoon restricting or closing down some businesses, a full list of which I believe is now on our website, 1063WORD.com. This will be tomorrow, this new executive order closing these businesses for 15 days goes into effect tomorrow afternoon at 5 p.m. And it does include, as we've been lightheartedly mentioning, beauty salons and barbershops as well. So could certainly be a run on those tomorrow. To the phones we go. Let's head to Spartanburg next and bring in Richie here on the Bobby Mac Show. Hi, Richie, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for allowing us to come into your home.
Yes, sir. My pleasure.
I was wanting to let you know, I have found some hand sanitizer.
Amazing.
Yeah. You know where I found it at?
No.
At the ABC store, 190 proof.
And you know what? You pour a little over your fingers, and I don't know, maybe you sneak a little nip along the way yourself, and, you know, maybe it's not the kind of hand sanitation that Dr. Burks, yeah, at the coronavirus response coordinator is recommending, but hey, you know, any port in a storm.
Yeah, well, I'm going to use it, you know, for hand sanitizer. I just had my whole entire aorta replaced. I don't want that to be for naught, you know. So
yeah,
but yeah, well, I bought that, and you know, I had people tell me, said, you know, of course it's more expensive, but you know, look, it's going to clean your hands. So
yes, and everything else in the human body as a special added effect. Well, just be careful around open flames with that stuff, Richie.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
My pleasure. Good to have you here, sir. Now, I mentioned we're recycling a few of our quarantunes. We'll have one of those in the next hour, but we have a new original quarantune for you this afternoon, because we got to thinking this stuff has been dragging on for a while now, and it's obviously going to keep dragging on. And as a result, boredom has a tendency to set in for some of us, since the self-containment rules have been put in place all over the country and is still a suggestion here in South Carolina. Anyway, we got to thinking that Green Day would have a good take on things in our latest installment of Quarantunes. And so with that having been said, we present Long Stay, another totally unnecessary Quarantune song parody.
I sit around and watch YouTube and browse Amazon. I scroll through Twitter for an hour or two. Another package of Thin Mints. It's been a week since I hit the gym. I feel like Farley in that skit with Patrick Swayze. Can't touch my face or rub my eyes. Don't wanna catch coronavirus. Stay indoors, hand sanitizer is your best friend. I'll stay in isolation. Some separation, good time for hibernation. I want a vaccination.
Yeah, we are all waiting for the vaccine to come down the pike. And in the meantime, there you go. There's our quarantine for today. Long Stay, with apologies to our friends in Green Day. In on the text line, Bobby, if the internet does go down, it won't be because it's overloaded. It'll be because people finding out truth don't fit the narrative, but internet outage does. Gotcha. Bobby, I just saw where we had four more people die from the virus, one of whom, middle-aged, died from the coronavirus, had no underlying issues. This is the first time that I have knowledge, first one that I have knowledge about. Are there others? I could have sworn that up to a day or two on the station, I heard there weren't any yet at that time. Thanks from JD. Yeah, this one death here in Greenville County was an individual that we believe had no underlying conditions. Bobby, sorry, I just stepped away from my radio there. Is Greenville being shut down? Sorry if you've already covered this. No, to this point, we have yet to hear from the Greenville City Council as to whether or not they will revisit an emergency meeting for a stay-at-home order, but Governor McMaster did not issue one for the state. In fact, Annie has all the details coming up, so stay right here. See you back with a bonus hour. Fourth and final hour on the way here on Tuesday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.